Let's roll. This is Countercharge, your podcast for ranks, flanks, and kings of war. Join your hosts as they delve into the world of Panathar and bring you worldwide coverage of all things Kings of War.
Welcome to Countercharge. I'm Rob Enough.
I'm Matt Kroja.
And I am Jeremy Duvall. Excited to be back with the boys for our March edition of our monthly fireside chat. So we got a lot of cool stuff to catch up on this week and month. Tons of stuff. March is super busy, right? We got Adepticon. We got, just had Blue City Brawls. Lone Wolf is around the corner. Before we know, it's going to be U.S. Masters. So tons of stuff going on. What have you been up to, Rob?
I wanted to start by just commenting on the most epic photo that was shared on Facebook. I believe it was in the Northeast Kings of War page from Dead of Winter, I believe. And it is our illustrious ex-colleague, Mr. Alex Koos, against Dr. Novocaine, Corey Reynolds. And I almost fell out of my chair when I saw it, because on one side of the table, you've got Corey doing what Corey does, methodically taking someone apart. No expression. He's just rolling. And on the other side, there's this disconnected person who is, obviously not plussed with the way the game is going. I really thought, guys, that Canadians were more gregarious and outgoing than this. But from his demeanor, I'm going to speculate that that's not always the case. That they also don't like to get their pushed in. But what do you guys think?
Well, I will say the Kusinator does look very organized in the photo. He's got all his tokens. He's got all his dice.
Shout out to Kus. He has the Countercharge widget set on the table with the yellow acrylic sticks, which is totally awesome.
He's ready to play, but he's in the chair, Rob. He's been, the chair has been lowered back, and the doctor's putting the Novocaine, making it, feel nice and smooth as he sticks it in. So I'm curious to know what the result of this game was. Do we know what the result was?
Well, I think we know the result from looking at his face. It's certainly one-sided. But I have another question. I'm just thinking back. Have I ever seen Alex not wear black?
You know what they say about black? It goes with everything.
And maybe he was on his way to a funeral.
I think it definitely suits the demeanor in that photo. So,
the death of his army.
There's a dark storm coming.
So let's jump into the community update. Obviously, Blue Sea Brawl has wrapped. I'm not sure when this is coming out in comparison to our Blue City coverage, but just know there's a lot of stuff coming for that and a lot of blogs. That was a lot of fun to do. And then, Jeremy, is what you said, time for Adepticon. It's right around the corner. And what's interesting, Jeremy, I don't know if you looked at the numbers, but good numbers for Adepticlash at like 53. But, Armada's only at 12. And Firefight was 15. And I wonder if that's just a reflection of Halo is pretty popular right now. I know locally it's the number one Mantic game right now.
It brings up a good, an interesting topic, right? Because in the past, what we've seen over the last couple of years, we've seen Kings start to decrease, right? And we've seen really strong, like 20 plus numbers on Armada. And we've seen some growth with Firefight. So, and Halo at its core, right, is a lot of den zone elements, Firefight, so I wonder if we have some of those players going there. It is interesting about our Armada is that seemed pretty consistent, right?
We were in the low 20s every year.
I also wonder, do you think there's any players maybe who are, this is their first year in a new location. I don't want to mess with all the logistics. I'm going to let them do a year, get everything sorted out, and then come next year. Do you think any players maybe are not going to come this first year?
I know for me personally, I didn't take any painting classes this time because I did want to simplify my schedule. So I'm just playing a few Mantic events. I think if I'm reading this right, we only have 4 for Ambush. And I think that's a result of going head to head with the pairings event. Again, some of these numbers might be low because of scheduling, or maybe your supposition about maybe some of the players we've had in the past aren't coming because they want to give it a year and see how the new venue shakes out. I'm excited about the new venue. I don't know about you, Jeremy.
Oh yeah, totally. And I think you're definitely spot on, which is, do I want to play in an Ambush smaller size event, or do I want to take those smaller amount of guys and play in the pairings event? I bet you that's just the I'd rather do the pairings event decision made by most players, because I think the pairings event's going to be pretty cool. And since that's also new, right? This is a fresh take on the team event. I think there is some buzz around the pairings event just because it's, you know, it's the shiny new thing to do.
How does their pairings differ from the teams?
You're randomly matched up with someone each game, and all the awards are based on your own solo singular progress through the event. But it means that each round you're going to have a new partner. So again, it's trying to help create that team tournament dynamics, but also it's a mixer, right? It's an ice cream social.
You don't get it. It's the Catalina wine mixer.
You're gonna play with three different players. You know, it's great event for new players who are gonna play in Clash that weekend because they get to meet a bunch of people. And since it's smaller points wise, it's pretty easy if you're playing in Clash.
Looking forward to Adepticon. We'll see everybody in a couple weeks. If you're there, come find us. We'll have a little space set up. We'll be omnipresent. We'll be all over. Jeremy and myself will both be there. Someday we'll get Matt to come over from Australia. That'd be fun.
Well, Mark had so much fun at Clash. I think we're going to be joining him on a future trip back to Australia.
In terms of locally, we have Kings of Memphis 5 coming up June 21st through 22nd, 2025. It's, again, new player friendly. It's 2,020 points. I know on a previous cast, I think I said 2025. I'm just doing that to confuse Brian Trahan. So it is 2020 per the pack. You get a free bard character where you are using command dice. We're not using allies or withdraw. And registration's open, and a link will be in the show notes. I think we're around 15 players. You know, it's the same frustration I always have, is that as a Keys of War community, and I myself included, I always sign up later than I would like, right? Like, my intention is to sign up right away to give clear indication that I'm coming, but I'm always a last minute kind of thing. So what's going on in California?
Busy but good, as I like to say. Master's prep is going really well. We are getting ready to release our next issue of the Master's Minute, which will have details on how to sign up for Best of the Rest. And then we're also looking at finalizing our prize support. We got a bunch of really awesome, great bespoke prizes, all getting prepped and ready. The pack is in the works. So we just did our round of voting with the Master's chairs around some of the key elements of what's going to be in the pack. We're now going to be getting ready for the pack to be released, you know, working on the scenarios, paint judging. We're going to have a bunch of great paint judges, getting all that stuff. And then also in the Master's Minute this month, we'll have information on some of the great local eateries that are within walking distance of the venue. So we'll be highlighting some of those great places to go get food. There's some really great restaurants, both within the hotel itself. I mean, it is a high rated casino hotel, so there's great food in there, but there's also really great food within walking distance. Some really well-renowned, diverse places. So that's going good. Continuing to work on Masters. That, you know, when you run an event like that, Rob, it's every week we're working on something, right? It's not an event that you can put together at the last minute. So we're continuing to work on our terrain. We have a lot of really awesome terrain, both terrain from our previous events. If you've ever seen pictures from Bay of Kings or Riddle of Steel, you know the West were renowned for really using nice terrain. So we're doing that, but obviously working on additions to that to serve, you know, the amount of tables that we'll need for such a big event. So stay tuned. If it's not all out already by the time this episode drops, it will be out shortly. Best of the Rest for Best of the Rest signups. Our Master season is coming close to an end. We have an event coming up in Reno. We have Adepticon, and then pretty much Lone Wolf. Lone Wolf is our last. We do where you can swap in and out of region as one of your scores. So we just sort of have our event, our season go through Lone Wolf, and then we'll be picking our teams. I know that a lot of the other regions are wrapping up or have wrapped up. So we should very shortly see who's going to be coming to Masters, which is really exciting. And so that's really what we've been focusing on, is getting Masters set up, getting all our prize support, getting our location, you know, everything that we need to hopefully have Masters just go off without a hitch. So super excited for that. What about you, Matt? What's been going on in your local area?
Not a great deal locally. I got back to my first midweek game in a long time. So I cracked out the Halflings at 2,000 points, giving them a bit of a run as a prep for the local tournament in about 3 or 4 weeks, I want to say. There's a few tournaments happening around, but otherwise there's, you know, nothing big and bold coming up. I think the guys that ran the second biggest tournament last year after Clash up in Port Macquarie just had their ambush tournament, and that went well. I think they had a good amount of people there. But, you know, otherwise it's just chugging through at the start of a normal year as, you know, people get their legs going at the, I guess, what is relatively the start of our season rather than the, you know, the middle of the end. So we don't know exactly when your pack will come out, Jeremy, but I'm very keen to hear about the votes on key aspects and what you end up doing.
What you would think of in the US, no command dice, withdrawal rule being used. So similar, I think there's a little bit more hesitance in the US to try some of these new things like command dice. Command dice, we did have a couple regions though vote to use it. So it was a closer, it was not a landslide by any means. But, you know, kind of pretty standard for those competitive players. You know, they want as little variance as possible. Yeah, so, I mean, those were some of the standouts, I guess, are the more controversial, things.
You know, our next tournament is not using them, which is the first one I will have been to not using them since they came out. And part of the reasoning was about the imbalance, same as lots of those guys, but particularly like since the red change, and that didn't quite make sense to me because at least now the more powerful ones, they do have to pay to get it, right? Since the change to the three red, it is a more significant impact on list building and quite significant with, you know, how many points you have to pay to be able to access guaranteed points. But you know, we'll see how it rolls out. I mean, I'm not even totally convinced it'll be sticking around, so we'll have to wait and see. All right. Well, why don't we slide into a quick commercial break and we'll be back with our hobby updates.
I'm Andy from Mantic Games and you're listening to Countercharge.
Welcome back. And I'm sure we're all beavering away, you know, getting ready for a hobby challenge for me and tournaments for you guys. Robert, what are you up to after exhausting yourself on the books of the Abyss and Night Stalkers?
For a couple of days after the Lucy Brawl was finished, I didn't do any hobby. I look back on it and go, oh, that was pretty cool to make a really different theme than I normally would have done. And the reception was great. And we're now in the process of starting to ramp up for next year. And we're workshopping some ideas. So you'll hear more about that in March of 2026. For Adepticon, I have to finish painting my Abyssal Dwarf Armada fleet. So far, I've got huge sections of like paneling that's all painted purple using oil paints, and that should be dry by tomorrow, and I'll spray it, and then I'll just do the metallics, and that'll finish that off. And then for the pairings event, I am painting up a unit of Nagari. I'm just doing two Nagari because I couldn't figure out a way to put three on the base with that new unit, and a tweaking of the magical artifacts, I'm able to get to 1200. And then breaking news, I'm playing goblins at Adepticon. I haven't played goblins in a while. You know how I made my list? I literally took a picture of my collection, like each shelf of the battle, the case, and I gave it to Kyle Poole, and he created a list. That's it. That's all I had to do.
Nice.
Yeah, so what's interesting is I had to make a few conversion bases where you can take a couple regiments and make a horde, that kind of thing. So the only model I have to paint is Grupp Longnail, which I believe is the Goblin Wiz in that Harukin pose from Street Fighter. So I'm going to paint him up. So I've got Abyssal Dwarf Fleet, one unit of Nagari, and one individual infantry goblin. I think I have a good chance of finishing it in the next week and a half, 2 weeks. Coming right behind that, though, I've been working on the table for Chase, you know, that we have had several episodes on. So I've started working on that. But Jeremy, I can't wait for you to hear the Blue City episode because we have some discussion over your elementals and your...
Oh, thanks.
Quasi using of James Wapple techniques and stuff. Because Dan is a disciple of Wapple. Huge
fan. Oh, well, I sent Dan pictures of what I was working on. Because he's one of those painters that's so good. I always like to throw those type of painters. Hey, this is what I'm working on. Does it make sense? Does it visually make sense?
It's funny because there's a couple of succubi. There's one succubi in particular. I was like, this might be the best model I've ever painted. Like just skin tone, like everything clicked. And then I like put it next to his stuff and I'm like, okay.
But he's such a giving, like, he's a giving guy, right? He will give you feedback. He'll talk. Which,
all 5 foot two of him or whatever he is. He's a little guy, but yeah.
Just a really great person to bounce ideas off of, talk about higher end painting techniques, you know. Just I love Dan. Just like such a good guy.
If you're interested in tapping into Dan, just DM him on Facebook, right? Just send him an instant message. He loves to chat. I mean, he came over here for like 5 hours to show me how to do oil painting. Jeremy, how is your hobby going? Because I heard you're still working. You haven't given up yet.
No, it's going really good. I've been actually doing a lot of hobby the last couple weeks. I was really excited, as you guys know, wrapping up my MCP X-Men team that's now all finished, that I was able to finish in January. That's allowed me in February and March to go devote all the energy into Northern Alliance. I finished the first Ice Elemental, which is good. That's based up. I'm now on number two. Let me see. As I great radio, as I show them on the picture. But it's what I found in doing this technique, which is straight off Google, YouTube, James Wapple, Mantic Ice Elemental. It's unabashedly not my decision, or not my. It's not original in my mind, but he did just such an amazing job on a non-metal metallic-esque sort of high reflective ice. Doing the first one took me forever, to the point of I love my beautiful doctor came in, and she, as her science mind, she's like, Jeremy, this is taking you 4 weeks to paint. If you have to do two units, and that's 9 ice elementals, and you extrapolate that out, you will never finish this army, and you will be sad, and I don't want to live with you sad. And I was like, oh man, well, you're kind of right. But the second one, I'm halfway done, and I've only done 1.5 sessions, so it's remarkably quicker the second time, as I've gotten, you know, just the flow of how it works. And I found a nice mixture of the medium / retarder of the Army Painter technical products, so that I put all my blues on my wet palette, I add in a little bit of medium, I add, and they're staying really usable for a long time, so I can sit down. And since I'm not swapping back and forth, I'm just doing this blue wet blending, it's cutting a lot of time. Like before, when I was doing it, I was also doing other stuff. So every time I got to sit down to paint, it would be like all 6 shades of blue, of the blue 6 double triad from Army Painter. Then I would add the medium. It'd take me 30 minutes to get all my paint set up to do it. So now that I'm just focusing on just painting these elementals, it's quick. So TLDR is I'm hoping to finish this Ice Elemental unit for Adepticon, just so I can bring it, maybe submit it for a paint competition, or I'll use it in my army along with, I'm playing Northern Alliance, but I'm going to be borrowing some stuff from Felix. So shout out to Felix. But I'm really excited because it's an army that I'm working on, right? So I'm not just borrowing an army or playing old, you know, 2017 Basalians. Again, I'm actually playing an army in a tournament that I'm currently building and painting. So I'm super excited. I've been getting practice games. I played some practice games with Tom. I got a couple great practice games with Adam Ballard of like refining my list, because Felix sort of sent me, Rob, a spreadsheet of everything he has painted in Northern Alliance. So I found in his stuff, he pretty much had the army I'm working on minus a couple of things. So I was able to pick that out. Lists are due shortly here for Adepticon, so I'm going to be turning those in. Yeah, so working on the Ice Elementals for my Harim, or my Ice Giant. I'm doing all Mantic, but the theme of my Northern Alliance is Ice Elves. So I'm going to be using a Tree Herder as my Harim, or Ice Giant.
That'd be cool, because there's not a lot of leaves sculpted on that model too, so it's already kind of a dead.
So, and I'm going to add some, like, maybe some leaves. I'll add some snow. I'll do some nice cool wood textures, and I'm thinking that will fit in nicely with my Ice Elf theme. So I think once I finish the first horde of Ice Elementals, I'm going to do a Tree Herder. So I think I'm going to do Eat Your Broccoli, do a unit. Here's Dessert, do a single model. Eat Your Broccoli, do a unit. Here's Dessert. So I think I'm going to kind of go back and forth as far as what is my strategy to keep motivated to get this army done, because I'm doing it, guys. I get too much crap from you. I get too much crap from everyone else. I'm finishing this army.
Just hang on here. I'm worried about your health. You've got your broccoli and your ice cream. Where's your protein, boy? Where's your protein?
Okay. Well, yeah, that's the display board, baby. That's what we're going to be working on that as well.
And I think you're going to end up with the most expensive display board in the history of the planet, too, probably.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, considering the display board, the army, the bespoke band equipment that I'm getting custom made to ship the display board, it will be, I think I'm just going to be playing Northern Alliance for the duration of the rest of my life, which is cool because I love the faction. And what's cool is I start with the Ice Elf theme, but Northern Alliance has dwarves. They have like all sorts of like cool stuff. So I feel like it's a really interesting faction that has longevity.
I've been thinking about that recently for adding to the Northern Alliance is printing out the Mantic Dwarves to make a unit because they're pretty good. I reckon they're a nice little anvil in Northern Alliance and boost of unit strength as well.
And that's what I would do. I would print the Vanguard dwarves, the newer sculpts, and I would have those be my Northern Alliance dwarves because I love the idea of dwarves in winter. They're extra armored, you know, and those are like really, I think those are some of the best dwarf models and are really high quality, just any models. Those dwarf that have just, you know, been put on the vault recently are really cool. So I'm excited to be collecting Northern Alliance. I think there's lots of different stuff. They have cool different types of troops. They have big cav. One thing I'm thinking of, and I'm curious what you guys think. So for my Ice Naiads, I'm thinking of doing a conversion with the half elf berserkers, but giving them spears. Now, that's not nice, but I mean, I think a horde of elf spears, do you think that's on theme for like for naiads?
If you're Mr. Hobby now, print out the bits for the Ice Naiads, right? And figure out a way to convert those to add to the elves.
Because I think the arms are separate, so you might only need their tridents.
Yeah, the ice tridents, right? And then just put those on some elf models. Yeah. So then I would have my cool horde of naiads would be like my elf dudes. So
how are you going to use Jordan Talonson, the new Northern Alliance dwarf coming out for Kings of War Champions?
I got to figure out how to fit him in.
Are those characters immediately carrying over to Kings?
I don't know, Matt, the timing, but I think that's their intent, that they will port them over to Kings of War.
At some point.
Or I could use that model as a Thane. I have a Thane in my list. And to me, a Thane can be whatever you want. So I was thinking of running my Thane as the Icekin Master Hunter or the Icekin, the assassin-looking dude, the Ice Blade. He's in my list right now. I have an Ice Queen, and then I have the Thane with the Rally Banner, which I think is a super dope guy. But all of this is under the caveat is 4th is around the corner, right? So I don't know how the list is going to change, you know, points wise. So right now I'm just focusing on units that I know I'm going to want to have no matter what. Like I know I'm going to want ice elementals. I know I'm going to want a harem. I know I'm going to want at least, you know, one frost claw riders. And I know I'm going to be using the half elf berserkers since it's an ice elf army. I'm going to have those guys in ice kin hunters, you know, so I'm trying to build out the stuff that I know I'm going to have. And even if I end up building more or whatever, I really want the Northern Alliance project to be a little bit more robust and provide options so that I don't run into the problem like I have with my Basileans, where it's I have one version of the list and that's it. So I don't mind if I end up painting stuff that I have to choose or pick once a 4th comes out. So just in general, as a hobby project, I'm really excited and it's been super fun, really having a great time. Getting ready for Adepticon, right, which has been just practicing. Really excited for the main tournament. We're going to be – we got a little bit of a team going, which is going to be me, Brinton, Corey Reynolds, Chris Peltier, a couple other guys. We're going to be playing as a team for the Adepta Clash, which is going to be super fun. It's always great. We always see those Northeast guys often when we go to Adepticon, Chris and Corey, and really a good group of dudes. So – in general, my hobby wave is high right now, so I'm trying to ride that wave as much as I can of getting, you know, multi-hour sessions in every night. So in general, it's been pretty good. What about you, Matt? What have you been up to hobby-wise?
Yeah, nice. Well, I think also with Northern Alliance, Jeremy, the Ice Elementals will port really well to D10s, so your D8s, so that'll be good, you know.
Well, yeah, and you know, the new bespoke D20 crit rolls, you know, I got blue D20 dice all ready to go.
Excellent,
so, yeah, you know, we're ready to go.
So I've started punching out a couple of bases for what will be the Abyss this year. I think last time we were on the Fireside, I said I can't decide between the Abyss and the Trident Realms, but then I listened back and I had specified in the hobby goals Abyss, so I've had to double down and go the Abyss. So doing a bit of like a bleached fungi kind of forest base, and I've trialed a dark blue Abyssal guy. I'm not quite convinced on the teal armor that I've got going there, but again, good for radio, but dark blue I'm starting with. We'll go from there. I'm, as we speak, clipping out a couple of hordes of Abyssals from the Mega Army. And so I'm gonna start with the Abyssals, get them on the base, and the lower Abyssals, that is, and see how we go from there. But I've got plenty of options. Similar to you, I'm going to build the army ideally so that, you know, I do have lots of options, but a little more sensible way. Like I built the Northern Alliance more sensibly around a list at first and a couple of lists, whereas my halflings, I found I'm going to end up probably, you know, I painted just what I liked at the time, but none of it ended up into a cohesive list for a while. So, you know, I've had to paint a lot more for that. And, you know, it's probably a good time to roll into where we're up onto our commitments. At least we know you're on the roll with one, Jeremy, this year. But, you know, I've knocked out the 500 points of halflings that I've said. My Abyss has started. My firefight's done. And then I'll just have to decide, you know, 1,000 points of something else that I've got to do. But, you know, with our upcoming hobby challenge, I'm sure I'll get the Abyss done. And then it'll be just ticking that last box. What about you, Rob?
For the commitments for this year, I mean, I've already got the 1,000 points for BCB complete. I'm about 50% of the way done with the Abyssal Dwarf Armada fleet. Say that three times fast. And then the other two is 2,500 points for Kings of War and 2,000 points for GCPS. I think I'm settled on. I'm going to do Night Stalkers. And I've decided I want to use it as an airbrush project. So I'm going to try to mostly do airbrush. And then maybe on some of the large, sinewy pieces of flesh, like in between wings, that might be a good opportunity for me to go back and do some oil painting. But what about you, Jeremy?
Okay, so everything going pretty good. One of my goals was to get the finish the MCP in the first part of the year so that I could focus on Kings. That is done. Really happy. I got a really nice X-Men team done for that. That was happy. I got some honorable mentions and some paint award stuff when I went to LBO, which was really nice. My Logan got a couple of different like best team, best single model. And my Logan Wolverine got a mention as a best single model. So that was really exciting. And then it's just Northern Alliance. So I finished my Snow Troll Prime. He's done. I'm halfway done through the first horde of Ice Elementals. So those should be finished up here in March. And then I'll be going into Harim, getting them ready for Adepticon. Obviously, it's not going to happen, but I'm still on track for debuting the Northern Alliance at Bay of Kings, which is in September. So that will give me pretty much all summer to get the project done. So still on track for that with the end goal of being by the end of 2025, having an all Mantic fully painted army. So I'm making progress. I feel good about it. I think we're on track. I've got nothing crazy work-wise or travel-wise. Our big trip this year isn't until October, so I should be able to stay focused and get this painting done, which, you know, speaking of, I'm really looking forward to it. Adepticon, Rob, hitting the vendors. I'm curious if the Exemplar wet palette, if they'll have their bigger model for sale, because I know they've had it in the Kickstarter, but I've been waiting to buy it from them in person. So,
well, you're a Red Dress Gaming guy in the past, so maybe you like desk size wet palettes.
Give it to me big, Papa.
I've got the Red Grass Light coming soon, or they've just gone into production from the Kickstarter. I'm looking forward to that coming for my space because I've only got overhead lights, and I'm looking forward to having a good desk lamp.
Nice. Yeah, Red Grass, good products. Both them are Exemplar as far as wet palettes go. I think you can't go wrong with either of them. I think I like the Exemplar one just a little bit better, but they're both really nice quality.
Well, let's take a quick commercial break, and then on the other side, we'll get into feedback and engagement.
This is Alan Beener, the Ska King, and you're listening to Countercharge.
So welcome back to Countercharge. And just as a reminder, please give us feedback wherever you listen and engage the podcast. You know, we're not everywhere on social media, so feel free to share the show as often as you like. We didn't get any feedback on Apple, Podbean, or Spotify this month, but we did have some engagement on Kings of War. Erasmus in particular, you know, he just mentioned that List Builder Studio is some of his favorite episodes, and I do too. I like them a lot. I like hearing the same questions and the same topic, but through different lenses. And I think that's really interesting. But guys, he had another comment about our last fireside where we were talking about list construction and unlocking, that he threw out an idea that I want to read to you and I want to get your perspective because I think it's really interesting and it's not one I have heard before. This was an interesting episode. Thanks to everyone involved. I agree that the unlock system could do with another look. Having so many troops work differently is confusing. In general, the more rules, ways things work there are for similar things, the more confused, mixed up players get. The ideal is to make it simple for players by having one rule that works the same for everything, but that is flexible, versatile, and granular for designers. My suggestion would be making an unlock stat in the unit profile. That can be positive, negative, or zero. The values for each army must add up to zero or more. Units that designers want to encourage can have higher values, and units that need to be restricted have negative values. I'll leave it at that. What are you guys' thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I think it is interesting thinking about how do you do list design outside of just points. Like, how do you use list design to encourage or discourage the type of armies you want to have, you know, i.e. spam or this or that. So I'm curious to see how the new list design or list design mechanics shake out. But I think it is an area that most people think the game could use a refresh in, is thinking about how do we do list design.
What are your thoughts, Matt?
You know, I don't mind that idea. I think it would certainly allow for flexibility when they're building units, right? It would allow that one extra step of variety. I mean, the joke aside about D8 or D10s, one of the arguments for something like that would be that you get more variance in what you can build into a profile, and making an unlock relative to profile. And if you made it less generic, you know, you don't, then the system we have, like all hordes get minus one or whatever it is, all hordes get one, two, whatever the number is. But if they vary based on what the theme of the unit is, well, maybe it helps play into the theme a little bit more. I don't mind that idea.
Yeah, I kind of see his idea as an extension of what we currently have, right? Where you have a horde, it opens up four troops. So in a way, you could argue that's sort of four, right? And then each troop is going to be a negative one. It just gives more granularity to that approach. And you can be very nuanced in your application in the sense that, you know, not all hordes are created equal. Not all troops are created equal. So, that's the best idea I've seen in a long time, having it unit and size specific.
Absolutely. Well, how about next we roll into what's come out this month in the Mantic news? If you haven't listened to it yet, you should absolutely listen to our Kings of War Champions episode. Rob and Jeremy caught up with Rob Berman and Andy Burtis, with Rob Burden and Andy Burtis, to talk all things Kings of War Champions. And I'm very excited about that as a little intro to the game, I think, for providing a little bit of flavor for people getting into it. Be interesting to see if that kind of serves as an entry point. And I wonder if it'll be particularly effective as an entry point on some of those people who are coming over for games like Halo, for example, if they're sold as this, you know, mini entry point into the fantasy game with a bit of flavor, that might be good. And so listen to that episode. But otherwise, there wasn't a hell of a lot from Mantic that month, except them continually pushing their Kickstarter for the advent calendars. So that's all wrapped up now. I saw it had 500 backers or something. And yeah, we might move straight onto the vault, I think, because there wasn't much else for the month. Jeremy, you must be very excited about the vault this month.
A bunch of cool stuff. So definitely for people first starting out with Visalia or wanting to add in some of the model. I say newer models, but they've been out forever, right? Are some of the Vanguard era models, which is the updated Sisterhood and the updated are the they were new at the time, right? The Sisterhood Scouts. You can now get both those in the vault, which is amazing for if you haven't built those units yet, or because before this, there was no clear, real good way to get those models. Plus, you have some the Abyss, which is great, Ogre Palace Guard, some of the Paladins. So just a really great assortment of all the Kings of War, Basalia, Vanguard stuff is now available, which is awesome. I know as a Basalia player, Matt, this is like, I've often thought about adding scouts into my Basalia list a bunch of times, but I've never had, not because I don't think they're good or have a place, but just because how do I get the models?
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. And there's also a little Gerpanther in there. So that's nice. And they've got on the fantasy setting, they've got air elementals. Which is cool. And if you've heard the Forces of Nature review, you know, most of the elementals for Mantic are now available in the vault. So that opens up the options of doing an elemental based army quite easily with Mantic products. And then for these, sure. We've got some bases for sci-fi and some extra bits. What faction are they for, Jeremy, in Firefight?
Looking like most of the extra bits here are for Marauders, which is their, for lack of a better term, space orc, but the Marauders in Firefight are way more like themed around being tactical, devastating commandos and vicious, violent, dangerous, as opposed to a little bit more of the space soccer hooligan. It's a little less that and more like, a mercenary type feel, but it looks like they have a bunch of alternate heads. They have a bunch of alternate arms. Looks like these resin bases you could use for whatever faction you wanted to. They're like Marauders, they would work great for. GCPS, they would probably work really great for. Forge Fathers. So a lot of good factions that these bases could work for outside of just Marauders.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think there's some real value there. Another great month in the vault. I think overall we get more hits than we get misses with the vault, which is excellent. And if you're into the vault, we recommend joining the Mantic Vault Facebook group. It's pretty easy to find. There's usually an early picture for the month given there, so you know a few days before what's coming up. Questions are posted there. If you're into the vault, check that out. So with that, let's slide into another commercial break and we'll be back with our main topic, which is what do you love about your favorite Mantic game?
I'm Crazy Bobby and you're listening to Countercharge.
And we're back. So let's slide straight into it, talking about what we love about our favorite Mantic game. Again, we had a little bit of variance on reading of the question here. Rob, we're back to the old way.
I like Jesse. He kicked this off with, I like the Seductress with Gnome Glass Shield, Host Shadow Beast 3, and Knowledgeable. So that's what he loves about Kings of War.
Yeah.
That's on brand for a power gamer like Jesse.
Let's kick it off. So you've said Jesse Garrett's contribution, Rob. Luke Schaefer, you know, of course, friend of the show and fellow podcaster. Don't make me pick a favorite. Kings of War, I love multi-based units, and Firefight, I like leader-centric units.
Next up, we have Donnie Croce. That Matt Crozier plays it and talks about it on the internet. Pandering will get you everywhere with us.
It's nice to have one fan.
Yeah, he's stroking your didgeridoo, you know?
Isn't he? Isn't he?
Yeah.
My number one ticket holder. He can have a ticket to the show whenever he wants it.
Exactly. He wants to put your shrimp on his Barbie.
We love you, Donnie.
Yeah. We have Alfred Eisenman says, Kings of War, definitely multi-basing. He loves the freedom of multi-basing and what you can do with that hobby-wise.
And, Matthew Selleck failed the reading test, and he just said Kings of War is the pinnacle of tournament games. I guess maybe that's what he likes most about it.
Next, we have Patch Adams, who says, Kings of War, I really like the gameplay and the release schedule around updates.
Okay, Benjamin McDonald, no matter what happens, he always enjoys playing Kings of War. Whether he loses badly or just loses by a little bit, He loves that he always feels he has a chance to win the game. Like, he never feels completely out of it. So he likes that element of balance, right, in Kings of War, that you're never fully out of a game.
Tom Freeman says, clean, I'm assuming this is at Kings first, but clean, easy to learn rules where dice tells the story, although he does say he feels it applies to all the Mantic games he plays.
Next up, we got Jack Turk. He says, simple to learn, hard to master.
And that to me would probably be like one of my things. If you were to ask me what I love about Mantic games, it's that. And if they have a design philosophy, I would say ride that pony, you know, ride that simple to learn, lifetime to master.
You know, what's interesting, Jeremy, you said something in a previous episode. I don't know which one it was, but you said that a lot of people aren't playing in Panathor. They're just playing Kings of War, but they're not playing in Panathor. For me, my answer to this is the growth of Panathor as a breathing universe that feels so compelling now.
Well, and I think that's where something like Champions is so important, right? Champions, the novels that you the hobby guys are doing the great book reviews on, you know, that's where that immersion comes in over time. I'm hoping we see that extended into fourth, you know, this flavor around characters and units continuing to build. Because I think the argument, I think it's undeniable that the Panathor is more of a universe than it's ever been across the, you know, coming up to a decade that we've been playing it.
And it's internally consistent, which was not always the case.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you look at second edition, right? And the world that was in existence, even at the beginning of third edition, compare that to the narratives and the flavors and everything happening now. And that was sort of the narrative, right? Which is give the world some time to season, right? To marinate. Narrative and fluff takes a little time to develop, right? And I think we're starting to see that. I just hope that my hope is as they continue to design fourth in an effort to streamline or clean rules, they realize that flavor, I'm one of the players that I think flavor is good, both flavor in narrative and also flavor in rules and army design, is that I love a balanced game, but we're not playing chess. So again, I know there's different people on this slider. There are at different spots, but I look at Northern Alliance. I look at Twilightkin when they were the last refreshes on both those items and all of the cool flavor and synergies. And that's where I would love to see the game continue to go into. Next, we got Gordon Innes, Kings of War. He loves that easy to learn, lifetime to master, man after my own heart. He really enjoys watching people play and improve and seeing them tackle the same issue that he has had to deal with. How to protect, you know, how to protect from flyers, how to protect a flank, how to stop the end unit getting double charged. He really hopes that fourth keeps the same feel.
Jason Murray, he said and I think this will be King's variety in the different races. The rules are easy to learn but hard to master, and it makes the game so much fun. And additionally, also loves the ability to scenic and multi-base units, which is great for hobbying.
Yeah, and next up we have Mike Painter, one of the hosts of Controlled Fire. Great podcast. If you're not listening, you should. I love the whole sci-fi line, Dreadball, Dead Zone, or Firefight. So dynamic and cinematic in every game.
Yeah, so great. I wish we had more Firefight content, like on YouTube or, you know, I know some people were doing battle reports, but that game I love so much.
I'm going to let Matt have the privilege of reading Adrian's response in all, like, 600 words. So I'll just say, Keith Conroy, I love that Mike Rossi published a book set in my favorite game. Again, pandering will work with Mike.
I feel like I need to do some vocal warm-ups for Adrian's response. But we appreciate the effort, Adrian. Well done. I can't decide between Kings of War and Firefight right now, so I'll do both. I love Kings of War for its elegant rules, great background, and solid model range. But most of all, I really love the multi-basing. Years ago, I stopped playing Warhammer because pushing around a 200-plus model Goblin army became more exhausting than fun. So Kings of War, with its single-based regiments, was a breath of fresh air to me. The multi-basing also allows for some great modelling opportunities. Turning each unit into a mini-diorama is fun and all, but I also love being able to place models on the base so that they actually look like a single unified regiment, far better than the unnatural look you get from rows of soldiers spaced evenly apart. For Firefight, the rule set is once again elegant and very easy to learn. The leader-centric rules make the game very easy to play, and alternate unit activation is the way of the future. And the background is awesome. From the corporate dystopia of the GCPS to the cosmic horror of the plague, I find all of it so interesting and engaging without feeling like that it's there mostly to sell models, unlike a certain other game system. Yeah, good answers there, Adrian.
Yeah, great answers. Next, we got Dave Fanning. He says, easy to learn, which you could put for so many different Mantic systems, but he does for artistic options for army and basing. So again, another great comment about basing and that the community is top notch.
Ian Kane, Exploding Eights, of course, Dead Zone and now Halo is such a fun game to play and always delivers a memorable moment of against the odds heroism for one side or the other.
Next up, we've got Nick Brooks. First of all, thank you for running with the topic of the month. Y'all are the best. I think he's from San Antonio or Houston, so that's on brand. There are quite a few reasons I love the Mantic company and its several ecosystems that they have created. First, as a company, they are committed to continuing to improve their products while keeping them affordable for customers. It's gamers creating games for gamers and design philosophy that favors personal freedom over creative control, which I think that as customers, we should continue to support them by buying their products. Then there's the game systems themselves. They are easy enough to grasp that it works for everyone coming into the game, but has enough depth to really sink your teeth into, giving it the replayability. Multibasing is easily one of the best reasons to play Kings of War. Again, the creative freedom, which is so unique to fantasy battles. It creates epic battles on the table, but essentially plays like a skirmish game. As for the Warpath side, I love the exploding D8s in Dead Zone and the no measurements. I love cubes. All essentially creating a greatest hits rule set for Firefight, which incorporates all the best elements from several different systems to make a really elegant game. Also, the fact that it's not a grimdark universe and that they're trying to create something fresh and interesting as opposed to aping what the industry leader does. And lastly, I love the global campaigns where the players get to watch how the narrative changes based on our players. It's just too cool to be included in the story. Just wanted to say thanks again for all the amazing work y'all do here on the podcast and being one of the biggest champions for our corner of the hobby space. Oh, thanks for the kind words.
I love how you started to slip into a bit of a drawl there at the end.
Well, I do live in Tennessee, so yes, I am what they call a damn Yankee. This isn't going to make sense to Matt, but so we have Yankees, right? They live in the North, and I'm a damn Yankee because it means I've moved to the South, but I'm not leaving.
I remember when my dad came home to meet my mom's parents for the first time. My mom's from Texas, and my dad was from New Jersey. So oh my gosh. The Yankee was cut. That's true, Yankee. Next on the list, we got Jeremy Kidd. Above and beyond, I love the people that I've met playing the game, both locally and in the Southeast tournament scene. Great people in the South. Tough as chewing an old leather shoe as opponents, though.
Erasmus, I would not have gotten into Kings of War without some room to make things my own, and I still appreciate it. What's kept me playing and made Kings of War win out when I had to cut back on the games I play is that Kings of War rules are simple in a good way, easy to learn and remember. If I can't play for a few months, I don't need to figure out how to work the rules work again.
So next up we have Thomas. He says, my favorite part of Kings of War is the I go, you go mechanic. So clean, fair, and easy. It also facilitates play by email games, which are close to my only option to play games.
And don't you, Matt, do play by email games sometimes?
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. It's probably the easiest way I get to play.
Mark Zielinski, welcome. He says, I love Kings of War because it's fun, fast and furious, easy to learn and teach, hard to master. I love rank and flank fantasy. Most of all, I love our community.
Jonathan Watch, simplicity and awesome community across all games. Love the easy to learn but very hard to master movement and positioning of Kings of War.
Rick Hoy says, Kings of War. Multibasing, lack of an argument phase due to the clear rule set and the great community that likes the games for multitudes of reasons, giving us all so many fun events to choose from.
Kyle Poole, the community, Kings of War players have become my deepest friends outside of the military and made sure I came through my darkest time alive and loved. Also, multibasing.
Radek Bry. Got an interview coming up with Radek in the coming month, dominator of the UK Masters scene. Kings of War for me is amazing as I can get a reasonably priced army that helps with getting a second and third army. Game is well-balanced, fast and easy, but never boring. In 22 years of gaming, this is one of the best games I've played.
All right, well, we have two more comments to go to close this out, so I'll start with Luke Frazier. I love that Mantic doesn't use generated AI in their published materials. And Chet Dudek says, the community and the competition. There's nothing like getting together with friends to play Kings of War. It's the complete hangout package by providing entertainment, topics of conversation. It gives something to work toward in tournaments from enlist building. This game has strengthened friendships I already had and built new ones from scratch. What's not to love? Best tabletop rank and flank game ever. So huge thanks to all of you that provided comments. And let's take one more commercial break. And on the other side, we will give you a few updates on the podcast, share next month's topic, and we will close out the show. We'll be right back.
I'm Justin Robbins, the real paragon from the 2024 Masters, and this is Countercharge.
And welcome back. So we're going to close out the show with the updating you on what's coming out. Don't forget, you can help the show, share the show with the community. We can't be everywhere. We can't share to every group. So if you think something's relevant and you haven't seen it shared, give it a share for us on whatever social media channel you wish, whether it's a comment in the Kings of War forum, a review on Spotify, a review on Apple Podcasts. You know, those things help bump us up the channel and get the show seen by more people. And you never know, we've had it said before, that it can bring more people to the game. It would be a great help to the community at large, not necessarily just us. It's not like we're making any coin here. For our schedule coming up for April, our Loremasters Library, we've got Steps to Deliverance. We've got List Builders coming up. We've had a lot of fun with these. You can expect probably one to two a month because Rob's got a few in the can. We've got others planned from around the world, so we'll get some more going. Army Reviews, Forces of Nature's just come out. Rob, you've put out Order of the Green Lady questions, and that's going ballistic on the Facebook page. Jeremy's got Ogres prepping. I've got the team assembled for Rudia, and we're just setting a date. So the Army Reviews are coming. We had the comment from Florence during the week. What would she say? Something about, like,
how can she persuade us to do more?
Yeah, and I said, you can't.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, I think realistically, guys, we're going to try to get 10 done. That'll be our goal.
Also, with not a firm date on 4th.
Exactly.
You know, it's not super motivating to do a lot this year because, you know, it's a likely that then we have to turn around and do it again.
Though they may become, you know, completely invalid.
We'll do the crappy armies now that nobody's going to play in 4th.
Thank you for listening to Countercharge. This episode, any talk about 4th edition was completely conjecture and has nothing to do with inside baseball knowledge.
All right. And so next up, our topic of the month for our April fireside. What is more important for growth of the game? Clean rule set or army flavor? Can one exist without the other? Give us your answers. Feel free to elaborate. You know, give us a little bit of detail on this one. We're very interested to hear your opinions. Okay, anyone got anything to add before we close out the show?
Great question. I'm really excited to hear what people think. I think they both can exist together, that we can have clean rules and lots of awesome flavor, but I'm curious to hear. This is a good, juicy topic, so I can't wait to hear what people have to say.
Well, on that, thanks for listening, guys, and until next time, keep countercharging.
Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time on Countercharge. Please let us know what you thought of the show by emailing us at counterchargepodcast@gmail.com, on Twitter at countercharge15, or by commenting on the Countercharge Kings of War podcast Facebook group. If you enjoy the show, you can help others find out about it by leaving positive reviews on iTunes. Until next time, keep countercharging. Music is a composition of Kevin MacLeod and is licensed under Creative Commons.